Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
Hi, Desi.
How's our stories looking?
It's pretty grim out there. We're just, we don't know. We don't know. It could be a great show.
Right.
Not to put that out, the first sentence of our show.
So you're saying there wasn't many stories.
It's just really hard to top last week's story about that guy from Australia.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We have some stories.
Okay.
But I did just want to start out the show by saying yesterday, after we finished recording our Ashley Simpson show recaps for Patreon, there was a really ugly house. Her house is really ugly that she bought. And I spent 2 hours yesterday trying to find information about this house. To no avail.
Really?
You don't even want to know, like, the corners of the internet I was scouring.
That's weird, because it was on a show.
I went on Google Earth, and I started looking around.
You're just scrolling up every street in the Hollywood Hills?
No, I found, like, a possible address, but that address turned out to be wrong, so I spent, like, 30 minutes looking at this one road in Beverly Hills to try and locate this house. I think you're right that this was a rented house for the show.
Yeah. I don't think she owned this house.
This is really devastating because I would love to know. I would love to know what the history of this house is. It is a hideous looking house in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
I'm going to post a picture of it on our Instagram stories once I upload the episodes for Patreon.
So if you're in the area and you've clocked this house,
please.
I'm sure people notice this house.
I'm desperate to know, but who knows? Because this episode was from late 2004.
So it might have been completely remodeled.
It might have been completely redone. Someone finally was like, enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Hmm.
It's just weird that no one else is talking about it.
Okay.
20 years later.
This is the facade of a house in the hills from an episode of the Ashley Simpson show from 2004. I'm sure it's at the top of everyone's mind today.
But maybe if we mention it, they're like, "Oh yeah." Like we triggered something.
It's like that's what I'm saying. This is a perfect case for one of those low-stakes investigative podcasts I like.
Yes, absolutely. Like, what's the deal?
Don't you think that's a good... whose house is this?
I know. I'm like, do I know any realtors who can find this for us?
Possibly.
Yeah. I think we have a few realtors who listen.
Yeah.
So
maybe they can
know.
Help us.
Yeah. Help us out here.
Anyway, that's not our top story, but I'm still thinking about it and it's like sick. I'm sick in the head.
Yeah.
Desi.
For sure.
Anyway, our top story is that on March 17th, Investigation Discovery is coming out with a docuseries about shady stuff at Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I saw that the trailer dropped like yesterday.
I'm curious what this is going to be because there's so much that's already out there.
Right.
Like, is this going to be a rehashing of everything we all know, but in one place? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we talked about this in the Jeanette McCurdy episode.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not in depth, but...
And there has been, obviously, people have been talking about Dan Schneider, at least online, for years now.
But even when I was looking up stuff for that episode, it wasn't anything I had not heard before. There wasn't any new revelation. So I'm curious, are we getting new revelations in this, or is this just the first sort of documentary about it?
Judging by the trailer of this docuseries, which is called Quiet on Set, there is a point in the trailer at the very end where it says like, it's like a, someone's like telling their, I'm going to be telling my story for the first time, but right. we don't see who it is.
And they do that a lot in yeah. these kind of shows.
I didn't recognize any of the talking heads from the trailer. I think they were like after my time watching Nickelodeon, right. possibly.
Right. It's definitely that later era.
It's like when I stopped watching Nickelodeon, like in the late 90s and then in the 2000s, into the 2000s. So I didn't recognize anyone.
I want to know who they got.
Yeah. Who is it? Because there are so many. Is it a big star? Is it someone who went on to be a big star?
Right. Is it like Amanda Bynes? Like,
right. We don't know.
Someone like who really suffered.
So this story is from Rolling Stone. It says former Nickelodeon child stars detail trauma and alleged abuse on in Quiet on Set docuseries trailer. The four-part series premiering March 17th delves into Dan Schneider's reign at Nickelodeon and the alleged abuse and discrimination child actors suffered on set of the network's most popular shows. It continues that the four-part series pulls back the curtains as former child stars and employees detail the trauma and alleged abuse they say they encountered on some of the most popular kids' series. They describe Dan Schneider as Nickelodeon's golden boy in the trailer. For 20 years, he shaped children's entertainment and culture, but that marked one of the darkest chapters. Writer Sketchy Cool explains in the clip. So I don't know. Maybe there is going to be some new revelations here.
Yeah.
It's a docuseries. That's a lot to fill up.
Well, and they do things like that all the time where you're like, okay, I already know this.
Now, I forgot about this. I mean, I watched this trailer really late at night last night, but there is a mention of, quote, troves of child pornography.
Oh.
In the trailer. Somebody mentions that. So I don't know.
Well, that's illegal.
Well, yeah, that's very illegal and very bad. I don't know who they were referring to. It could have been another right. person at Nickelodeon. There was another revelation in the trailer. And I don't know if this is something that had been discussed, but they said that three convicted or accused pedophiles were working there.
Oh.
Like had been hired.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Yeah, that would be, I just want to know, I've just been burned so many times by these type of shows. And unfortunately for us, we're so in the know about these things. It's very hard to be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I also saw there's like this is more controversial probably. They're doing a Selena documentary where they interview Yolanda.
Oh my God, that is crazy.
I'm fucking, that's something I'm watching. Even though I know it's controversial, like it's not like I believe her, but I'm curious.
I mean, I'm definitely curious what this bitch is going to have to say for herself. And I'm sure she wants this to be like, oh, this is my moment to wash my hands of this and, you know, tell my side of the story and be like a victim.
Oh, she's disgusting. But that's something I'm like, well, I'll watch that because that's something we haven't seen before.
Yeah. I mean, like, what is she going to say? Like, I had a good reason. Like, what is she going to say?
Right, because there's no reason to kill someone.
Right.
Like, unless you're self-defense, obviously.
But this was clearly not.
But I don't believe a word she says.
So. Yeah, I'm not going into this.
I don't necessarily think I'm going to watch it, but I will be curious at the clips that drop.
One last thing I wanted to note about this Nickelodeon docuseries is that Mark Summers isn't in the docuseries as a talking head.
Ooh. And that's a good get because he was an adult.
He was
during this period.
And he started working at Nickelodeon in like the 80s.
Oh yeah, I mean, he was there like the whole time almost it seems.
Yeah, I don't really know what he was doing during this Dan Schneider era, but he was he was always on my TV when I was a kid.
Double Dare.
Double Dare. What Would You Do? He was always like hosting shit.
He even hosted some things on Food Network.
Unwrapped.
Yeah. I do like the title of this docuseries. I think it's really good.
Quiet on Set.
Yeah.
It is good.
It's kind of creepy because it's taking a common term, but making it kind of like sinister.
Yeah. Everyone's being quiet about all the bad stuff that's happening.
It's really awful. It does make you think children should not be in this business unless it's drastically changed.
There's like some serious reforms.
I mean, a lot of it relies on them having really caring on top of it parents. They don't always seem to have that.
Well, we see sometimes really, obviously with Jeanette McCurdy's story, like examples of these stage parents who are just awful. Anyway, our next story is from NBC 3 News from Las Vegas.
Mm.
A man was arrested after climbing on top of the sphere.
This was bound to happen.
I'm surprised that it's only just now happened.
Yeah. Where is this again?
On the Strip.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like right off the Strip, right?
Is it not there when we were there?
It was not there yet.
Oh, my God.
Or at least we didn't see. I mean, I'm sure like the construction was there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like it wasn't up and running.
No.
Last year when we were there. This person could be, they're not even naming him. The person could be seen taking steps across the top before he appeared to descend back inside the exosphere. So did he, was he climbing from the inside and he got outside of it? The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police said the climber was taken into custody. Later that afternoon, police confirmed that 24-year-old Mason Deschamps, a quote, urban climber who scales... I hate
what
this guy.
What a nerd.
This guy's such a fucking
Everyone
dork.
Everyone who climbs things is stupid. Like, if you're just, like, climbing things to get attention, I don't like it. Especially urban climber, that's a thing. It's a thing that should not exist.
I think climbing stuff, like rock climbing, I think that's cool. But when someone's just like, look at me, I'm Spider-Man, and I need attention, that's annoying.
It's really annoying because it's all attention-based and you're always getting arrested at the end because you're not allowed to do that.
It's just like for what? Go to a rock face somewhere.
I guess. They're not going to get as much attention unless it's like...
Go to therapy and then go to a rock face.
Go to therapy and then at least go climb like Mount Rushmore. You'll get some attention.
Yeah, because who gives a shit about Mount Rushmore?
He'll break off a nose.
I would applaud that.
That would be funny.
If somebody ended up vandalizing Mount Rushmore because they climbed it.
And they like literally fell with Abraham Lincoln's nose.
That would be fucking cool.
Or the point of his beard.
See, why don't they focus on cool climbing activities? The sphere is like, what's that going to do?
Also, anything that you do in Vegas, no one gives a shit because it's Vegas and lots of shit is going on.
Yeah, you're not original for doing something stupid in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's just like, who gives a shit?
They call him he's an urban climber who scales tall buildings across the U.S. Oh, and he's doing it for a dumb cause.
Ooh.
He's doing it to protest abortion.
Oh, that's a surprise.
What a fucking nerd.
This is terrible.
This guy gets worse and worse.
How does that even work?
what kind of protest? Why? He was booked into the Clark County Detention Center where he faces multiple charges, including destroying property of another greater than $5,000 and conspiracy to destroy private property. The ABC 7 is calling him pro-life Spider-Man.
Ugh.
He was also arrested in May of 2022 in San Francisco for climbing the Salesforce Tower.
The Salesforce Tower?
Yeah, that's a tall building. Yeah. It's a very tall
building.
That's
so boring. What a stupid name, though.
Oh, I know. It's such a dumb name. He's a local rock climber. He scaled skyscrapers before in Las Vegas and beyond. He posted a short cell phone video Wednesday morning on his Instagram account. The video shows him against a blue but cloudy sky with a GoPro camera strapped to his head. You guys, I'm here on top of the sphere, he says in the video, wind whipping in the background, as he explains that his latest stunt was meant to bring attention to his anti-abortion cause.
Oh, an earthquake.
Are we having an earthquake right now?
Yeah. I mean, it's very small right now.
I love that we're having an earthquake on the pod.
It's so, it must be so exciting for our listeners.
We just had an earthquake. That was a long one, Desi.
Yeah. I mean, I felt it. I never even feel them usually.
No, that was
like the past 10 years.
That was a long one.
Yeah. Cool. Too bad he wasn't on the sphere when that happened.
I really think this guy needs to get a life.
I just don't get, it's like everyone who's already anti-abortion is that way. You're not bringing new people to the cause like with this.
Yeah. Right. Like someone's going to be like, wow, if that guy doesn't believe in abortion and he's doing something cool. Wow.
Right.
Like,
I wonder how many of his followers are like, oh, wait, you're anti-choice? Fuck you. I'm out of here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
what is this guy's point? He even calls himself, oh, he gave himself the nickname. This is even worse. He gave himself the nickname, the official pro-life Spider-Man.
I don't like people who call themselves Spider-Man.
I don't like, you can't give yourself a nickname.
No, it's bad.
We all know that. Anyway, have you seen these Apple Vision Pro goggles?
I did, because I saw someone, I didn't see them, I saw someone making fun of them.
Why are we doing this? Not making fun of them, but why are we making these?
I don't know. I don't know what any of these things are for.
Isn't this sort of, aren't they taking a gamble again? Like how, remember Google Glass?
Yes.
How for like 3 weeks, every asshole in San Francisco was wearing Google Glass and we all agreed they were all assholes. And then they just disappeared because everyone was shamed out of wearing them because they were fucking stupid. But now 10 years later, they released this even more cumbersome, like snow ski goggle looking.
What do you do with them?
Virtual reality headset.
Virtual reality. I don't like virtual reality.
Well, I don't know. Okay. I don't understand like what this actually is.
So you don't
is.
Walk around town with them.
You do walk around town with them.
Okay, sorry. That's so stupid. That seems really dangerous.
People are asking, like, it says the U.S. Okay, this is from the New York Times. Stop wearing Vision Pro goggles while driving your Tesla, U.S. says.
What?
So, like, the official spokesperson for the United States?
I guess. Of course someone driving a Tesla wears them.
I mean, that's who I think this customer is.
There's, like, certain technology that only the super dork-ass losers wear.
Yeah, who have too much money.
No normal person ever would put on.
Videos, many of them stunts or jokes of people wearing Apple's new virtual reality headset while driving Teslas in autopilot mode prompted officials to issue warnings. I hate this. Pay attention to the fucking road.
Just, people need to drive. That's all you need to do in your car. Just fucking drive. You don't have your headsets on. You don't have fucking Google glasses or whatever they're called. Apple glasses. Like, why?
Until we perfect self-driving cars, which I'm all for self-driving vehicles. I'm all for every car being self-driving. But we have not perfected that technology yet. Especially Elon Musk has not perfected that technology. Pay attention to the road.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that.
With having self-driving?
No way, that's scary.
But if every car was self-driving in the future?
It just seems like a recipe for disaster.
But people are stupid. People are bad drivers, too.
That's true, but people make self-driving cars.
That's true, Desi. That's true. But
I just don't trust anybody. Mm.
I think we have to get to a point where like it's all self-driving and we've perfected it and it's like perfect.
Yeah, it seems like a long way off.
I'm not saying it's like immediate in our future, but I welcome it if we can perfect the technology. Mm. And I just don't think we're there yet.
I would prefer hovers, like going above traffic and stuff.
Like the Jetsons?
Yeah. Like, because sometimes don't you just wish you could go up in the air and fly over traffic?
But then if everyone's going up in the air.
Yeah. that's going to be
trouble.
So
you got to stagger it.
You got to make sure only I can get it.
Videos being shared across social media this week depict an almost dystopian futuristic scene. Drivers of Teslas in autopilot mode while wearing Apple Vision Pro headsets, seemingly unaware of the road in front of them.
This seems so illegal.
I don't like this.
What are they looking at? Like, are they just looking at like a cooler, like the world in front of them is like 8-bit?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what they're looking. Is it like the road in front of you, but it's cooler looking?
I feel like that. And maybe they're also checking their email.
Ugh, and they're like looking up in the corner.
Yes.
And it's like their email. Okay. This is bad.
This is sick.
Yeah.
We are in a sick point in society.
Why would you even want to drive that unsafely?
Well, because they're in their self-driving Tesla.
I guess.
Which we all know Teslas never have any problems.
One of these people's going to drive off a bridge and we're all going to be like, I know it's wrong to laugh.
The videos led federal transportation officials to issue warnings. So that's the like U.S. authority is like the transportation officials.
I'm going
to
be so mad if one of these jerks hits me.
But are people really mindlessly riding around in Teslas in autopilot mode wearing Apple's futuristic new goggles? Or is it all just a bit? Part of the never-ending cycle of people doing silly things for clicks, likes, views, and clout. I mean, that's another
sick world.
But that's another sickness.
I'm so sick of clicks and likes.
I'm sick of clicks and clout.
I'm just, why are we still doing this? We are deeply diseased.
We are we are a sick society.
Yeah, I need to get away from it.
The new goggles have a feature that merges digital apps and one's surroundings into an immersive space, and videos of people wearing them in strange settings have started to crop up across the internet since they were released on February 2nd. Several of the videos taken in cars appear staged, and in many, it is clear that someone other than the driver is recording. The videos are not widespread. Still, they seem to be reckless enough for Pete Buttigieg.
Uh-oh.
So he's the one who scolded everybody.
Of course.
He weighed in on social media. Reminder, all advanced driver assistance systems available today require the human driver to be in control and fully engaged in the driving task at all times. See, I mean, yeah, I knew this. We have not completely made these cars autonomous.
They still need you to be looking out
in case something happens.
Yeah. I mean, this is where Pete shines. Come on to scold us.
He's good at scolding. he's good at a Twitter scold.
Cause he's like, hey, I'm young like you,
but
I'm going to scold you.
But I'm still a hall monitor. Yes. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration also chimed in on Tuesday. The agency said in a statement, driving while wearing a VR headset is reckless and disregards the safety of everyone on the road. Dante Lentini, 21, who posted a video of himself behind the wheel of a moving Tesla while wearing a Vision Pro headset, said in an interview, it was all just for content.
Ugh.
That's also stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. No one comes out looking good here.
Whenever someone's like, I did this for content.
Yeah, chill out, everyone. It was just for content.
Like, that like, makes me.
That makes it way worse.
That
dude.
Makes it
Dante.
Better. In the video, Mr. Lentini appears to be typing while wearing the headset as introspective piano music plays in the background. Think different, Mr. Lentini wrote on Twitter in an apparent nod to a famous Apple advertising campaign from the late 90s. This guy's too young for those campaigns.
So it's even not, it's not even good content.
It's
terrible content.
It's like he's trying to make Apple take notice of him so he could like help with their advertising.
Like, oh, let's put this guy in our commercial.
People love nostalgia and he's rehashing these 25-year-old commercials from Apple.
Ugh.
One commenter wrote, I genuinely hope you get arrested for this. Later in the video, Mr. Lentini appears to have pulled over in a parking lot and there are police vehicles in the background with their lights on. The way the video is edited, it suggests that Mr. Lentini was pulled over for driving while wearing the headset. But Mr. Lentini said in the interview that the police were responding to something else in the area at the time and that he and someone else recorded them in the right time, right moment.
I like that anyone thinks they could get away with this. Like, it would be so obvious you're driving while wearing it.
It's always funny, and this is something we see sometimes on TikTok or on any social media platform where someone just is like openly admitting or filming themselves doing a crime.
Yeah.
Or talking about how, like, there was some lady who was giving financial advice. Yes. Remember that woman? Yeah. She's a young woman, and she was basically talking about how she was like scamming the IRS.
She's like, just open a business account and you'll get all this credit.
And then open another business account. She was doing, it was like called Circular something.
And I don't even give a shit. But don't put it online.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm not even like mad at her. I just think it's funny that we're all so addicted to posting that we're even posting stuff that like you need to keep that quiet.
Right, because that's definitely something where it's like, here's a hack, banking hack. Every banking hack is a crime, probably. So right. That's just...
You're not reinventing the wheel.
No, it's like, yeah. Because you're lying on these applications.
No, but we're not to sound like an old bitch, but we're in... But it's true. Like, and we fall victim to it also where we feel the need like to post something when it's like, why?
No, I mean, there's so many things you should just never post.
You don't have to post everything.
No. And I'm thinking that more and more. Like, I see things now, I'm like, please delete this.
Right. You could have kept that to yourself.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
The world isn't a better place because you posted that.
And it just makes you look bad, usually. It's just like sad.
I'm really glad. I mean, I do feel grateful that I didn't have social media like as an adolescent.
Oh, yeah.
I do feel bad for the kids today. I mean, maybe they like it and they don't think it's bad. But
well, they don't
I feel
know
bad.
Any different.
I know.
But it's I have been seeing things lately where it's really sad. Like I saw this post everyone was sharing with Julia Roberts was talking about posting a picture of her and her niece. Just like a casual photo of them having a great day.
Emma Roberts?
Yeah. They were like playing cards or something.
Yeah.
And the comments were all like... Damn, what happened to Julia Roberts? She looks hideous. Like just all these comments because she's just whatever, wearing no makeup, just casual. And she was talking about how even as whatever her age is now, a 50-something-year-old woman, she was like hurt.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't imagine how kids would feel posting something and being criticized. It's like I was able to kind of talk myself down, but I was still hurt by it because it's like I'm sharing this fun moment with you and you guys shit all over my fun post that was like cute and like heartwarming and you turned it into like an ugly for no reason. For what reason?
No reason. It's like,
yeah, she looks different than when she's not in full makeup and hair in a photo shoot.
And she looks different than she did 30 years ago because like she's...
The weird thing is it's like, it looks like Julia Roberts. Right. It looks like her. It wasn't I was like, who's that? Like,
right.
It looked like her. We've seen her look this way before. It just was like so disheartening to think about how mean people are.
People are so mean.
Unnecessarily. For what? Like, and I always see that. Like, you can't post anything, even if it's just so heartwarming or whatever, without someone coming in.
And criticizing.
Like, I've posted foster kitten pictures before, and someone will come in and, like, that kitten looks like it has worms. Its belly is distended. So it's like, then I have to repost and be like, they're on a worm treatment. That's, I know this.
Right.
Like, I've fostered many kittens, so I can't post a photo until they're completely cured. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like one of those things, and it just makes me feel bad because it's like, I would always take care of my kittens, of course. And it's just some random know-it-all.
Right.
Who's going on everyone's post and being mean. Like,
yeah.
And you just see it all the time with the content providers that I do follow, like Kitten Lady or whoever, people just being mean to them. I was like, people have given up their lives to care for animals.
Right.
And you think you know more?
Right.
It's just so crazy.
Or just going on and being mean about, like, just being mean to people.
I would never do that. It's like...
Yeah, you would.
It's just like, I can't. And they're just, it's just so, I don't know where people get off.
It's like a morality contest.
Don't say anything. Just go away.
Go away.
Go away.
Life is hard enough.
It's just so, I hate it. I just hate, it's like you'll be looking at something and then read the comments and you're like, oh, my day is ruined now.
Yes.
I just saw someone being an asshole for no reason. And it's scary.
Yeah.
I think.
No, it is scary. I mean, and that's what I mean by I feel bad for the kids the most, because kids are already such assholes. Like, I remember when I was in middle school, like, we were all horrible to each other. Kids were horrible to each other.
Because it's horrible, but it's at least then fleeting.
Yeah, you go home.
Even though you'll still think about it years later.
Right.
In some cases. But it's like on internet, it's just always there. And it kind of builds on other people doing it.
Yeah.
It's like there is a sickness. Anyways, I'll reread every book based on how this has turned us into horrible people at some point.
Well, because you see, I was thinking about it. It's like you see people in their 30s getting into internet beefs. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing right now? I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's just like take a breath before you post that mean comment.
No. Nope.
Take a breath.
They can't. They're just, yeah. I mean, touch grass truly is.
It's whoever invented the term touch grass deserves a medal, because nothing sums it up better than that.
No, it's like go outside, take a deep breath, and look at the world around you.
If you wouldn't say it to their face, don't say it online.
It's really
And
it's
if you
wild.
Would say it to their face, go to therapy.
Or at least if you say something to someone's face like that, you're going to suffer an immediate consequence.
Right.
Most likely.
Like maybe you'll get punched.
Yes.
Or everyone else will look at you like a total weirdo.
Yeah.
They'll be like, why'd you say that?
There's no consequence. And if someone says something to you online, you're like, that person's a dick too. You'll fight with them.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Just
especially
stop.
Don't leave us mean comments.
Yeah, we're really saying, this is just a roundabout way of saying, be nice to us. We're teeny tiny babies.
Yes, please.
Anyway.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Desi, have you seen the Netflix docuseries American Nightmare?
No, but every time I log into Netflix, it blares.
It's really good.
It's good. Wait, can you just refresh my memory?
I went in knowing nothing. And it's definitely one that has a lot of twists and turns. But basically, it opens with a young man from Vallejo. Well, they're like 30. And he calls the police because his girlfriend's been kidnapped in the middle of the night.
Okay.
So it starts with this crime, and then it just takes all these turns. And it's definitely one of those stories that is infuriating.
Ooh.
It is absolutely infuriating. And look, I'm just going to say it. Vallejo PD, not a good track record.
No, it's always Vallejo.
Look, they didn't find the Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
They harassed Mac Dre for years. And now this story.
No, I feel like whenever we're talking Bay Area,
it's always Vallejo PD.
Vallejo always comes up as being incompetent. And I don't know why.
Not that there aren't other cities in the U.S. with famously corrupt police departments.
Well, for sure.
Look, we live in Los Angeles, Desi, yeah, with a history.
I'm not putting Vallejo at the top even.
No.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and I will say, a hearty fuck you to the lead detective in this case, Matt Mustard.
Matt Mustard?
First of all, how are you going to go around with a name like Matt Mustard and be acting like that?
That's like Matt Mustard in the conservatory with a knife.
It's, you have a clue-ass fucking name.
That name, it's like when they try to modernize it.
Yeah.
And Colonel Mustard turns into a young guy.
And it's Matt Mustard. It's like an origin story.
Yeah. Okay. That's funny because I think I just saw what you basically said, about the girlfriend being kidnapped.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, eh.
No. Yeah. You got to watch it. It's only three episodes.
Okay.
And I was riveted by it. I binged it all in a night and it was so good. It was well done
and
harrowing and just goes a lot of places and you kind of can't believe what you're watching.
Oh, good. I'm just so, like I said earlier, I've been so burned by these true crime documentaries lately. It's hard to know like which one is worth investing time in.
This one's worth it.
Okay. I'm going to watch it.
No, it's good. It's good. It's also, I think, important because it exposes this police department.
And you didn't know the story.
I didn't. Well, I did not know the story, but then when it started talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember this story in the news, but I didn't know anything really about it.
Right. Okay, good.
So I recommend that. And I don't have anything else to recommend that I can think of right now.
I started because I'm crocheting a lot. And so I wanted something to watch while I was crocheting that I didn't necessarily have to like pay attention to. So I started rewatching old seasons of Survivor.
Oh my God.
It's really good. I got a list of like the top 10 seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm watching like the very best seasons.
I've never seen it.
You'll like it because it's very diabolical and people do, you know, they band together, they turn against each other. I have to say, like, I recommend watching this show. I was an early Survivor head.
Yeah.
I watched season one when it came out and I watched many of the first seasons. It's like one of those shows you're like, did I watch that season? That's season 12. Cause you know how they come out like twice a year at some point.
Yeah.
So I've seen many seasons. There's like 40 seasons.
Right.
So I'm just only watching supposedly the best ones. And so far they have been really good. I'm on my third season rewatch and it's one I don't know any of the contestants. The first two I had, it was like ones that where they brought back old contestants. Mm-hmm. So I knew some of them. And I'm also once again watching The Traitors. It's so good.
I know, I need to start that.
It is so good. It's one of those shows where I'm like, why is this good? But I'm literally on the edge of my seat, like gripping things. And every episode is a cutoff where I'm like, ah, like I have to wait till next week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm in my little competition reality phase.
Love it.
But Survivor is really good. I recommend giving it a chance. You can start, if you want to start with Best of the Best, you can start with season one. It's always a good season because it's like no one knew what they were doing. But one guy was super sinister and evil.
Richard Hatch. He won. Yes. Yeah. He won.
And then I'm watching Fans versus Favorites. I believe that's Micronesia. And then I also watched, I'm watching, I can't remember what this one's called. But anyways, they're always really good. The All-Star seasons are always pretty good because it's people who have played the game and they're coming back to kind of, you know, save face, right? They have something to prove.
Yeah.
So those have been really fun. Those have been really fun to rewatch. I have to say it was like a perfect idea I had. Good for me.
I've always wondered like how I would fare on one of those shows. Like a part of me is like, yeah, I'd want to do it. But then the other part of me is like, there's no way. I'd get hungry on like day two.
Oh my God. This one, well, the hunger seems really problematic for me, but this season.
Because people would kick me off the island as soon as I said a bitchy comment while I was hungry.
The one I'm watching right now is segmented into three tribes, Brains, Beauty, and Brawn. And the nerd group is out of control bad. And like one girl in the nerd group, she thought for sure she was going to get voted off. And she threw, she like freaked out and threw all of their rice, like a 2-month supply into the fire.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is how you get killed. Like,
yeah.
Like, everyone was like, what? I was like, I've never seen anyone do something like that. But I was like, I kind of get you're in a rage.
Right.
But like, I would never, you know, kill, you know, burn up food like that.
Yeah.
It was like, rice is all they have sometimes for a very long time.
Because don't they have to like catch stuff?
Yes. And you don't have any tools.
Oh, fuck.
So they basically give you these huge things of rice and that's all these people are eating. I mean, these people like get scrawny real fast. Like,
yeah.
So it's one of those shows where you're like, see them at the reunion and you're like, oh my God, they were really skinny. Like I didn't know that that's not how they normally looked, and their hair is done. It's just like disconcerting sometimes to realize how much weight they lost.
Yeah.
Cause they're not eating, like, and then they have to do these physical challenges.
No, no.
Even a mental challenge is very difficult. Like, so it's like the survival aspect is one thing, and then you have to do all this strategizing, and there's so much backstabbing, and you're not at your best a lot of times.
Right.
It's a really good show. I mean, I can tell, like, it's one of those shows where I'm like, yeah, I can see why this has been on so long. It's pretty riveting, and there's so much going on. But yeah, it's been really fun. I don't know how many seasons I'll watch. I'll probably get sick of it at some point.
Yeah.
You know how when you binge old
Where is
shows.
It, Paramount?
Yes, it's on Paramount Plus.
Is it CBS, right?
Yeah, it's on Paramount Plus, but it's like every season.
Okay, cool. I'm going to watch it. I'm also going to check out The Traitors. And then did you know Love is Blind is coming back soon?
I did not know that.
How is it already?
I didn't watch last season at all. Did you watch last season?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
I think I may have started, but I was like, I didn't get drawn in this last time.
It was fine. I don't even remember it now.
We didn't even do our recap with Kara.
No, we didn't.
I think it was pretty widespread belief that it was not that great. I mean, we come off a few good seasons.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a dip.
Lydia and Milton, that's like the only couple I can remember right now from this past season.
Yeah. I mean, this is a show that goes out of your head very fast.
It really does. I mean, there's like a couple, there's a few couples where you just like remember them, but I feel like they make them so quickly and there's so many. They just
It's like processed sugar.
Yes. It really
pops your energy up for a second and then you're completely depleted.
Like, and you're done.
Yeah. No, I definitely remember people when I think about it.
Yeah.
What was the guy with, remember the Clementines?
Yeah. God, what was his name? Cole.
Cole and Zineb?
Zineb, yeah. Yeah, okay. Zineb.
That was a classic.
I mean, that was a good one. That storyline was good, for sure.
I like when the woman's the villain.
Yeah, it's a nice twist. It's a nice little twist.
Yeah, for sure. Other than that, I haven't watched much else. I've just been a survivor girl. Do my little granny squares.
Nice. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I realized. It's kind of annoying that both teams are like red.
And gold.
Well, right? 49ers are gold. Kansas City Chiefs are yellow. But that can be a fine line.
It's close enough.
In wearing colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, you want to be like Dallas Cowboys, where it's like blue and white.
Where it's a stark difference.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to wear a lot of gold jewelry on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I make sure it's not, you know,
yellow.
Mustard.
Yellow. I'm not wearing my yellow and I'm wearing red and gold.
What do you think is going to be the majority where we are?
That's a good question.
Because I don't necessarily know. Because LA hates San Francisco.
That's true. And I will tell you how shocked I was at the 2014 World Series, just how many KC fans there were, how many Royals fans. It was split. It was completely split 50-50 in the bar I was at for Game 7. It was half of the one side was San Francisco and the other side was KC.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. I'm like, where are all these fans coming from?
I think a lot of times what happens is, especially with a team like Kansas City Royals, people are like, who aren't on the other side are like, let's root for the underdog.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because Kansas City Royals in particular are a very underdog team. Not so with the Chiefs, like Kansas City Chiefs. Like,
yeah.
They're always winning. So I feel like we'll get a lot of San Francisco people because people don't want KC winning again.
Really?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I just think like people who maybe aren't football people who are just there for the Super Bowl, like me.
Yeah.
Often, although I would always pick San Francisco over many teams. I just think sometimes you pick the team where you're kind of like, they haven't won yet in a while or like whatever.
Yeah.
Although there could be a lot of Taylor Swift people.
That's true. How does that add to it?
Yeah, they want her boyfriend to win.
They want Travis to win.
And they see, they'll see her celebrating or whatever. Or maybe she'll get proposed to. Who the hell knows?
We don't know what's going to happen. Although I did read somewhere that the advertisers have included a lot more, like, quote unquote, girly ads this year in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Because of the Taylor Swift effect. So, like, Elf Cosmetics is doing their first ad
this
year.
That's really funny.
They should have always done girly, girly ads because we watch the Super Bowl.
Look, if they're paying the price, I mean, it could just be those companies are not interested in spending the money.
Right.
Good. I mean, I'm curious.
I want some makeup ads during the Super Bowl.
I want to see some Elf.
Yeah.
They're very affordable.
It's a very affordable makeup line.
They got lots of dupes.
Elf is always coming out with the dupes.
Yeah.
Like whenever someone's like, I need a dupe for this Chanel highlighter, it's always like, got this one from Elf for a dollar.
Believe me, I was at Target in the Elf section. It was all 12-year-old girls buying everything. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I want to try this highlighter. You don't even fucking have under eye circles.
Right.
You're 12. Give me that fucking highlighter. Everything was out. Anything that I saw on TikTok as a dupe, or like when I looked, just Googled dupe, Elf dupes or whatever.
Yeah.
Was freaking gone.
Because that's the TikTok effect. Because remember when Black Honey was gone from Clinique? Not that I was wearing Black Honey by Clinique or had worn it in many years. But I remember a few years ago, somebody on TikTok was like, you guys, I just found the perfect lip shade. And it was, it's funny because everything is like cyclical because look.
It's a good shade.
We've all known that's like the whole point of that shade is that it's universal on everybody.
I have one in my purse right now. I buy that regularly because I like that color.
But it went viral on TikTok a few years ago and then it was sold out everywhere forever.
Oh my God. I experienced this at Christmas trying to buy things for my nieces. And if it was remotely popular, I couldn't get my hands on it. And I've never experienced that looking for makeup.
Like
unless it's something that's sold out or they weren't doing anymore. Like usually I'm able to find something online at least.
But now it's different.
No, it's totally different.
Now it's different because, look, people go to TikTok for everything now.
Skincare is super big.
Skincare and makeup, yeah.
I have a friend who's Korean, and she's giving me some good Korean skincare recs that are not the typical popular TikTok ones.
Right.
Because I've said things to her, and she's like, no, don't get Cosrx. Snail mucus.
Yeah. That's not the right snail mucin?
According to her. And she literally goes to Korea and gets treatments. Like she knows her skincare from like whatever K-Beauty. So she always has different recommendations. Because I also want to get a rice toner.
Mm.
So I'm going to ask her which one I should get. So yeah, she was like appalled when I said that.
Wow.
I was like, sorry.
Damn.
I was like, it's very popular.
It's very, I have some.
I have some too. I was embarrassed to tell her.
It's inexpensive.
Like, but a lot of K-Beauty is inexpensive.
And that's what's so great about it.
Yeah. So she gave me some other things to get. And there were, it was like 12, everything was like $12, 16. I mean.
Speaking of viral beauty meltdowns.
Oh.
When Pat McGrath, who is probably one of the greatest makeup artists of all time, she obviously works her ass off during Fashion Week. And at the couture show for Mesa Martin Margiela, she did a makeup look that went instantly viral.
I've watched like hundreds of videos.
Oh, me too.
I can't stop watching it.
I can't stop. Even like 2 weeks later, I'm still obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So people were trying to figure out how she achieved this mannequin-esque porcelain doll glass skin effect. And people were... Erin Parsons, the makeup artist who I really like, she had immediately clocked that she thought it was like the Freeman peel-off mask. that had been applied to the model's skins to achieve this glossy
effect.
With
like an airbrush tool.
Yeah.
Like and watered down slightly.
So Pat McGrath did an Instagram live earlier like this week or last week breaking down. She's like, I'm doing an Instagram live. I'm going to break down what I use to achieve this. And ooh, we were all seated, yeah, except I was, and I watched it later. But she did confirm that the Freeman mask was one of the ingredients in this airbrush concoction that she made. She applied a total of like 7 to 8 layers to right, model skins. Each one was blow dried in between yes, layers. There was a couple other masks that she used in this potion
yeah,
that she made to achieve this effect. But she also said that she will be releasing her own...
ooh,
her own formula.
Okay.
And you know that's going to sell out like instantly.
I mean, it's very funny because it's like, you're going to walk around
yeah,
with that look.
I mean, right. When are you going to realistically wear that look? Because it's a very theatrical look.
It's a runway look.
It's a runway look. It's editorial. It's not for everyday wear.
I mean, maybe like 1 or 2 layers.
Yeah.
But also, you know that that's got to feel a little tight.
Yeah.
Like on your skin.
Because even when putting those masks on after 15 minutes, you can't wait to peel it off.
Yeah. So you're going to feel it
all
I think.
Night.
It's going to be uncomfortable
and
at
what
some
if
point.
It cracks during the day?
I mean, I feel like, yeah, how long does that realistically last? Maybe you just do some pics with it.
Yeah.
Or you just want to try it. I mean, people like putting makeup on just to do it.
Yeah.
But no, that's been interesting. I love Pat McGrath.
She's incredible.
I'm a huge fan of her makeup. In fact, I want to try her foundation.
Me too.
Okay.
I was just thinking, but I don't want to just buy it online because it's so hard. You need the right shade.
Yes.
So maybe we should go to Sephora and try
it. I want to go to Sephora and try it on. There's like some makeup I want to try out.
Yeah, let's go.
But yeah, I still have foundation left that I'm going to definitely use because it's fucking expensive Chanel and I like it.
Yeah.
But I've just been curious about her makeup.
I've been curious about her foundation because I've heard good reviews.
I like everything I've gotten from her, so I'm sure it's yeah, good.
She's great. So anyway, what did you eat?
Well, I actually did get, what's it called? Holy basil.
I
got it.
Explain what holy basil is.
Holy basil is a Thai food. I think it's primarily takeout that was in downtown LA. And they opened up a little spot in Atwater. And when I say little, it's like 2 tables and like 5 seats at a bar.
Yeah.
It's little. Every time I've gone there or been in that vicinity, which I am frequently, it's been like a line down the street to get in because it's super hot. Everyone wants to go there. And like I said, there's hardly any seating.
Yeah.
So I happened to be there in the area and there was it had just opened. It was early. It was like 5 something.
Yeah.
So I was like, I should just get something because it's probably like one of my only opportunities where I'm not going to be irritated.
Right.
Waiting a long time. So I did and it was really good. They don't have a very extensive menu right now, and mm-hmm, I think it's just because they're just opening, and they're super busy, like
right,
because people are ordering takeout. But it's very authentic Thai. I tried the noodles, the pad see ew,
yum,
with like it was really good. Anyway, I thought it was really good. So they're definitely still like what's it called, soft open.
Yeah.
It's like not 100% there. Like they just have water. They don't have like drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. And I'm excited to go back and when they have a bigger menu.
I can't wait to try it.
Yeah. It's such a small space. Like it's crazy. It's definitely made for takeout.
Right.
Because there's literally 2 tables. It was really good. It's right by Home State. So they're trying to do like... I like walked around Atwater a lot last night. It's just such a funny little strip of stores.
It is funny.
Because it's literally like stores that have like... where you're like, how do they stay in business?
Is that the same street where we used to do hot yoga?
Yes.
That the street same, is so funny.
These shops where everything is so cute. It's like this... all we sell is notebooks and pens.
Right.
And paper.
Yeah.
And it's like you go in, you feel really guilty. Because you're like, this rent's probably expensive. And they're like, please buy a journal.
And the journal costs $30 and it's tiny.
Yeah, but it's super cute.
Right.
And twee. Like and everything is just kind of like.
Everything's a little twee and it's made from like natural pulp paper.
Yeah. And every store is like that. So every time I walk in a store, it's like very uncomfortable.
That's the street where I got an Aura picture done like 7 years ago.
Oh, there's like at least two crystal stores.
It was at one of those like woo-woo crystal stores and they had like a pop-up aura photography. And I went with Amber and we both got our aura photos taken.
I feel like I remember when everyone was doing that.
Yeah.
I think Allie did too.
I kind of want to do another one because I thought I looked ugly in the picture. So I want to take like a cute one next time.
No, that area is very funny. So yeah, I guess I recommend it. I support this business.
Cool.
So I love Thai food.
We love it. We live in a great area to get that, Los Angeles.
So we'll have some more food talk though.
I didn't have anything interesting. When does this, my He-Man fitness challenge at the gym ends in a couple weeks. So look, I'm just... not eating anything exciting right now.
But we're going to a Super Bowl thing.
We're going to a Super Bowl event, and we will have more food things to talk about.
Yes. So I think that's all I got.
That's all I got. Go to our Patreon. We have new episodes of Law & Order recap and of the Ashley Simpson show recap. We'll be doing an after show soon, a new one.
And let us know about that house. Oh, you know what we should do is look at the credits. Maybe it says something about the house.
You think so?
I don't know. Sometimes they put a location.
Desi, I looked for so long.
Okay. I'm also like, we should look at like the location scout, get the name and find them online.
And harass them and be like, whose house is this?
Hey, do you follow me?
Whose ugly house is this?
Well, they might know if they're online.
Maybe somebody will see a picture of this house and go, oh my God, I know this house. I pass it all the time.
Okay, we'll post it on our Instagram.
On
if
the
you
stories.
Know the house or have seen it in the past, because it might not look this way anymore.
Because it's
very recognizable.
This is from 2004, so I feel like... Who knows? But I feel like it's so ugly that someone must have redone it to flip it.
Yeah, I agree.
But I want to know. I want to know because it's also a very weird interior.
But they may have also just done something like paint the outside.
That's true.
It might still have that weird angular whatever design.
They probably painted it like a slate gray.
Yeah.
Because that's what they always do. When they want to make like a soulless update.
Gray is very in. Various 50 shades of gray.
It is 50 shades of gray.
No, they'll get those tiles where it's like from pale gray to dark gray.
Yeah, like the gradient.
Ugh. I'm gray.
I got opinions.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, listen to our recap for more information about that.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.